بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والصلاة والسلام على خير خلقي ونور عرشي، أفضل الأنبياء والمرسلين، وخاتم النبيين بالقاسم محمد. وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المأسومين المظلومين. صلى الله عليك يا أبا عبد الله، وعلى جدك وأبيك وأمك وأخيك وتسعة المعصومين من ذريتك وبنيك، ورحمة الله وبركاته. صلوات على محمد وآل محمد. I begin in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His blessed Quran tells us, the believers, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ. O you who believe, seek. اسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ, meaning seek patience through prayer. إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ. صلوات على محمد وآل محمد. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes a very beautiful statement in Surah Baqarah, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ. Then Allah says, وَلَا تَقُولُوا لِمَنْ يُقْتَلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتٌ بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ وَلَكِنْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِّنَ الْخَوْفِ والجوع ونقص من الأموال والأنفس والثمرات وبشر الصابرين الذين إذا أصابتهم مصيبة قالوا إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون أولئك عليهم صلوات من ربهم ورحمة وأولئك هم المهتدون. صدق الله العلي العظيم. صلوات على محمد وآل محمد. The verse which says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ, Allah is indeed with those who are patient. There's a beautiful relationship here which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states. There is one thing for you and I to want to come near Allah. When we struggle in this world to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's a struggle for us, isn't it? Salah, we want to get closer to Allah. This world is full of distraction. It's full of trials and tribulations, as I just recited from this verse. And then we need to struggle to get closer to Allah. And the reason is that when we get close to Allah, we inherit authority from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which gives us tranquility, because when we get close to Allah, we are its benefactors. We. Because the Rahman al-Rahim, the Beneficent, the Merciful, He is the giver. And we are the receivers. That means the closer we get to the giver, the more we will receive. That's the law of our existence. But when Allah says, I am near those who are patient, إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ, surely Allah is with those who are patient, you find that Allah not only is pleased with you, but He is Himself now telling you that I'm getting near to you. Sabr is such a powerful reality, patience, It is the epitome of an individual who has understood the dynamics of life. Sabr. If you look at all our problems in life, extends usually due to our impatience. They say, As-sabru min ar-Rahman. Patience is with the Rahman. Why? Because what happens is when you are patient, you are wise. You think before you speak. Thinking requires patience. Speaking does not require patience. You can talk very quickly and then say, oops, I didn't mean that. But a patient individual, a wise individual, is a patient individual. A wise individual has to be a patient individual, otherwise you cannot be a wise person. It's like when you go and ask a question to a person, and they just give you an answer without thinking. Or they're impatient when they ask for something. Or they're impatient when their little problem comes to them in their life. They're impatient. When they're impatient, it's a sign of disbelief. Because a patient person, who is a wise person therefore, is one who has long-term vision, as I mentioned before. And one who has long-term vision knows that they came from Allah and they're going back to Allah. And thus everything in between is a movement towards Allah, and therefore everything they do is for Allah, by Allah, and for the pleasure of Allah. And that's not an easy thing to have. So Allah says, يَا يُلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَةِ. Seek this moment of patience and prayer. إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ. Then Allah goes immediately after that, and I'll speak about patience and prayer tonight, that if you look at the entire event of Karbala, you look at Imam Hussein exemplifying every aspect of the Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that is why the Messenger said, whoever fights them, fights me. Whoever hurts them, hurts me. Whoever displeases them, displeases me. Whoever pleases them, pleases me. This is the issue of known as tawalla and tabarra. I'm not going to touch on the issue of tawalla and tabarra much tonight, but tawalla and tabarra is keeping friends who are friends of Allah and keeping enemies who are enemies of Allah. Tawalla and tabarra. This is mentioned in the Quran. That Allah wants us to keep friends of only those who are friends of Allah. And we must keep enemies with those who are enemies of Allah. That means shaitan is an enemy of Allah, we must not be his friend. Anyone who supports evil acts is an enemy of Allah, therefore we must not support them in any fashion or whatsoever. And let's not play games in this matter. It is sad in the world when we see people today trying to validate history about those who claimed the caliphate and who committed such heinous crimes like Yazid and Muawiyah. That, oh, it's okay, radiallahu anh, they say. You're making a friend of an enemy of Allah? How? I was in the Emirates, somebody in the radio says, Yazid radiallahu anh killed Hussein radiallahu anh. I said, yeah, and Iblis radiallahu anh was there too. Do you accept that? What nonsense. That a man, radiallahu anh, may God be pleased with him. What is this religion for? If these two people are killing each other and they're both supposed to be representatives of God, then I am better, at least I know how to deal with you. What nonsense is this? This is the nonsense humans bring forth to try to validate something that is absurd. Forget about logical discussions. It's at the heart of our humanity and goodness. That how can you tell me that the devil fought with the messenger but they were both good? Can you tell me that? Can you tell me two prophets of Allah ever fought with each other? Two imams, two representatives of Allah ever fought with each other? Show me one incident in the Quran, in the spirit of goodness, that you can tell me that two good people serving the cause of Allah can never fight with each other. Parallel lines do not cross each other. Never. So this nonsense people bring forth, that we're trying to validate a historical event. If our religion is based on history, then Hindus have a greater right, for their religion claims to have been here for thousands of years. This is what it holds? Idol worship is correct then? If someone says, well, if Allah did not will Imam Ali alayhi salam to be the successor, that is why he didn't get it. I said, sure, if that's the game, then look at all the tyrants in the world today who are murdering people. And when Fir'aun reached his position, are you telling me that Allah made Fir'aun the way he was? Are you telling me that Allah gave Fir'aun this authority to commit the crimes that he did? Can you say that? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is arhamur rahimeen, you think he would allow such things? He has allowed it from the point of free will, but never has he made Fir'aun the Fir'aun that he is. Never has he made the Yazid that he is. Never has he made Muawiyah the Muawiyah that he is. Allah condemns all of these, for these are all enemies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. We are promoting Shahadatain here, brothers and sisters. We are not promoting anything else. Inna ad-deen 'inda Allah al-Islam. The religion to Allah is al-Islam. Al-Islam means wa in tuti'u Allah wa rasula la yalitkum min a'malikum shay'a. If you obey Allah and His Messenger, then your deeds will not go unaccounted for, meaning your good deeds. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَرْفَعُوا أَصْوَاتَكُمْ فَوْقَ صَوْتِ النَّبِيِّ وَلَا تَجْهَرُوا لَهُ بِالْقَوْلِ كَجَهْرِ بَعْضِكُمْ لِبَعْضٍ أَنْ تَحْبَطَ أَعْمَالُكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ. Listen to the same surah, number 49, Hujurat. It begins, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَرْفَعُوا أَصْوَاتَكُمْ. O you who believe, do not raise your voices in front of the Messenger, for then your deeds will be wiped off. And this event is very well noted among the Mufassireen as to who it's referring to. People who are given importance after the Messenger of Allah. These are the people that the Quran is talking about, that the ones who raise their voices. Yet we give them importance and we say it's okay, it's a historical bleep, it happened. No, Allah is holding us liable to submit to His rule and regulation, that there is nobody more important that you and I need to obey but Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nobody else. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. That means when we do, أَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ, I bear witness that my messenger is the messenger that Allah sent is my messenger that Allah sent, is the messenger that I follow, mine, Rasulullah. I obey him. Allah says obey him 100%, not 90%. And don't follow anyone who insults him. And don't follow anyone who hits him. And don't follow anyone who hates him. And don't follow anyone who looks down upon him and his family. This is known as tawalla and tabarra. We're talking the truth here, brothers and sisters. Not to be schismatic in any way, but to unite the ummah. وَعْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا. Hold on to the rope of Allah, not the rope of shaitan or the rope of humans. No. Rope of Allah is this. وَإِن تُطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ لَا يَلِتْكُم مِّنْ أَعْمَالِكُمْ شَيْئًا. When you obey the Allah and His Messenger, your deeds are intact. But if you insult the Messenger, your deeds are wiped out and you can't even see it. That means if a human being has the audacity to insult even the Messenger's son and grandson, then he is indeed that one whose deeds are being wiped off, and therefore we have no authority to follow them or even to look up to them, but rather we need to expose them and tell the world that this is indeed a breach of justice. And if we are going to be very politically correct and careful about this matter, then let's be politically correct in this matter and say we are not promoting schisms of one school of thought versus another. We are following Deen al-Haqq. لِيُظْهِرَوْ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّ. The deen al-haq accepted by all the Muslims in the world is that you and I need to go back to Rasulullah and ask him, who are the ulil amri minkum? Because no human being has been endowed with that ability to choose or to select outside of the jurisdiction of Allah and His Messenger. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Karbala took place because there was a breach of justice. Today there's confusion about right and wrong. Some people pretending to bring about some rules and regulations in Islam that do not even exist in order to counter the very ways our Messenger proposed and told us to follow. But no problem. There is a silver lining in every cloud and it's beautiful. Whether we are followers of Ahlul Bayt or not, what's beautiful about the Ummah, particularly the Muslim Ummah, is the fact that we all adhere to the Quran. And we adhere to the Kaaba, and to the Prophet, and to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is the center of it all. We have hope. And our obligation as a Muslim community, regardless of which school of thought we belong to, is to encourage each other to obey nobody but the Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That when I say I love Ali ibn Abi Talib, and if I say to you that Amir al-Mu'mineen Ali ibn Abi Talib said such and such, know, brothers and sisters, that I say it in the way with a clear understanding that Imam Ali alayhi salam never said anything which the Prophet did not tell him to say. And he never put himself ahead of the messenger, ever. In the Nahjul Balagha, not a sentence of Imam Ali alayhi salam ever proposes the idea that he even taught the messenger anything. It is the messenger who taught Imam Ali everything. Imam Ali never came and said to the messenger, I know you want to do this, but I think you should do something else. There are people we follow in our systems who did that, who rejected what the messenger wanted, who challenged the messenger's authority. People follow them. We are not interested in those kinds. We are interested in following people who were taught by the messenger, who were loved by the messenger, who were chosen by the messenger, who were protected by the messenger, who were guided by the messenger, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيٌ يُوحَىٰ. The messenger speaks nothing of himself, but that which Allah reveals unto him, for he is the embodiment of haq, and everything he says is haq, and therefore Ali ibn Abi Talib, Ali ma'al haq, وحق مع علي وحسين مع حق وحق مع حسين صلوات الله محمد وآل محمد. We love Imam Hussein alayhi salam because he's a reflection of the messenger. Look what happens in Karbala about Salah, brothers and sisters. Our obligation as Muslims, that we may claim to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we may claim to love the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but the most conspicuous act of the messenger of Allah in 23 years that he preached in public was prayer. Prayer. And prayer comes in many forms, of course. But prayer, salah. They say every messenger of Allah, every prophet that died, before they died, their last words they uttered were as-salah, as-salah. Including our messenger, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yet if you read some hadith books, they say something else. They give importance to other people. Whereas the last breath of the messenger was as-salah, as-salah. And he left. Even the Jews of the time knew that. There was a Jew in the hadith that says he wanted to find out who this messenger was that was claiming to be the messenger of God. He says, tell me who saw, who witnessed his last breath. And everybody pointed to Imam Ali alayhi salam, Amir al-Mu'mineen, and says, go to him, he's the one who witnessed. And he goes and he asks Imam Ali alayhi salam, were you the one that witnessed the death of your messenger? He said, yes. He said, what was the last words he uttered? And Imam said, as-salah, as-salah. The Jew says, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa anna Muhammad Rasulullah. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with a religion that is practical. Look around the world today. Our Christian brethren are good people. They love their Lord. Jews love their God. Hindus love their God. We don't accept their ways because we know they've been misinformed. But do we question the integrity of their hearts? Allahu alam. Who are we to judge who is good and who is bad? It's none of our business. Allah says, Maliki yawmiddin. God is the master of the day of judgment. And we are all in need of His forgiveness. But when it comes to prayer, nobody worships God like the Muslims. Go anywhere in the world and see it. The most powerful institution ever placed to save mankind from destruction, especially the kind of destruction that leads to an immoral society, it is salah. Allah mentions in the Quran, Inna salata tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar wala dhikrullahi akbar. This prayer keeps you away from wrongdoing and evil, and it is a great dhikr, a great remembrance. Why? Because when a believer submits to his Lord, rukkan sujjadan. When a person does ruku and sujood, this individual is submitting to the command of God. A kind of prayer that is an honor, a dignified state of an individual who submits himself by being humble. Humbleness, as I mentioned yesterday, is the character of the messengers of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Is the character of the imams of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are humble. They are gentle, they are kind, وَالْكَاذِمِينَ الْغَيْظِ وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ. But of the highest order, where they do not lose their temper, and they are always forgiven. The messenger is not only عَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ, he's رَحْمَةٌ لِلْعَالَمِينَ وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. Meaning he's such a great mercy upon us, that when we look at him, it is a rahmah. His actions are to be followed, and the greatest form of that rahmah, as we say, of protection, is in the act of salah. Our messenger exemplified salah to us. In difficult times and in easy times, traveling or non-traveling, all the time turning towards Allah. That today, 2 billion Muslims on earth, a vast majority, by the grace of Allah, still pray more than any other institution in the world. Even in Italy, if you go, in the heart of Christian land, you find churches are being rented to Muslim groups from Africa so that they have Jum'ah Salah in churches. I thank the Christians who are good people for lending us their places of worship, for they are good people. But what an honor when Muslims enter churches and Allah is mentioned in it. And Adhan is called Allahu Akbar. How beautiful it is that when I visit churches and it's time of Salah, and the pastor says, go ahead and pray. I said, look at these people, how good they are. They're not bad people. We just need to be good models for them and teach them what's good. You think they will refuse? Most of them will not refuse. I'm telling you, they will not refuse. Most people in this world are not bad. But subhanAllah, you find Muslims in the world are prayerful. Even the chief priest of that church says that at least these people are worshipping God. Our churches are getting spider webs on it. And I'm quoting from him. I'm not making an assertion. He says, what good is it if we don't let these people? Let them go and worship. That's why Imam Ali alayhi salam said once when he was traveling, when they entered a ruined church, and some of the companions were making comments about a Christian church which was ruined, Imam says, don't say that, for God was once mentioned in this place, respected though it is not your faith. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. But salah, you find, go to any airport in the world and see the masajid, places of worship, you'll find Muslims are praying. Doesn't matter what school of thought you belong to. And I must say that those of the other schools of thought are also very prayerful people, wonderful people, prayerful people. And they love their salah, and they love it and they don't give it up. And that's an admiration, I must say. But the essence of what we're talking about, the heart of haqq, lies in our hands. And it is for us to purify the rest of this world. It is for us to guide them. For people are good in general, but it is for us to guide them. But when we misbehave, those who have been endowed with this rahmah of wali, of Amir al-Mu'mineen, the walaya of Amir al-Mu'mineen, and the Ahlul Bayt, and the love of Ahlul Bayt, and brothers and sisters, don't get me wrong, brothers of other schools of thought and sisters, also are told to love Ahlul Bayt. They are told to love Ahlul Bayt too. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal says, if you don't love Ahlul Bayt, you're not a Muslim. Love of Ahlul Bayt is an essential ingredient in Islam. The difference though is you cannot love Ahlul Bayt and love the very people who killed Ahlul Bayt. There's a contradiction here. You can't love Fatima al-Zahra salamullahi alayha and then turn a blind eye to those who abused her. It's not easy. You can't tell me to love something that just doesn't fit and you're asking me to mix oil and water together. I'm sorry. So sure, there is goodness in what you say, but please purify it and get rid of the other stuff that's holding you back from projecting forward toward that deen al-haq. Please, be aware. It's an obligation on our part. So salah, if you look around the world, brothers and sisters, you will see that it is a symbol of a Muslim. And I am saddened to hear people come to me every time I go and give lectures. Brother, speak about salah. Speak about salah. I said, I do, many times. No, talk about it more. I said, why? Why do you say that? He said, you should see so many of our brothers and sisters in our community. They don't pray. They're taking it easy. They're taking their time. They don't think it's important. They think it's just a waste of time. I must say, we are all guilty of that once in a while in life, isn't it? Where we become lazy about salah because our emotions fluctuate after all. There are days we're very spiritual and there are days we're less spiritual. What's important when Allah says, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ, that you and I have to understand that there is a ground which you and I need to stand on. What's built on it is secondary. But the most important thing is not the building above it, but the ground that you stand on. For you can have a magnificent building, but if the ground is crumbling, forget the size of the building. Or the beauty of the building. That ground that you and I stand on, which is firm ground, is salah. If that's taken, you fall. And then I don't care what else you do after that. It has no meaning. Whereas in fact, salah is that ground. The ground which allows me to jump forward. The one I was talking about the other day, when we take a leap of faith. Leap of faith comes after the practical aspects of movement. So when we talk about patience, I want to clarify very clearly. Patience is not the lethargic, lazy individual who sits on a couch like a potato and says, inshallah, things will happen. I'm patient. Inshallah. Allah will make all things good, inshallah. You ask him, why? I'm patient. Get off your back and do something, inshallah. No. That's not the patient one. That's the lazy one. That one's bargaining with Allah, pretending to be patient. That's not patient. Patient is person constantly doing Allah's work, but being hit on the head, being damned by the people, pushed around, abused, but never stops. He gets patted on the back by some, congratulating him, and some push him or her. He said, no problem, I just keep moving. I am patient. I am constantly charging. I'm getting my degree. I'm getting my business. I'm making my money. I am contributing. I'm giving kind speech. I am planning the strategy for my community and my family. I am moving. But I don't see the results so quickly. So therefore, I am patient. That's a different kind of a reality. And I'll touch on patience briefly. But I want to touch on this salah as an important aspect that I want us to understand. It's the foundation, brothers and sisters. And Karbala, inshallah, before I end, I will describe Imam Hussein's full access as this reflection that you and I are reflecting upon as to why we love him, why the walaya of Imam Hussein alayhi salam is so important, why this love, the tawalla, that you come towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through these people. Because they are the role models of what a person should do when Allah says, إِنَّ صَلَاتَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. Salah. That's how important it is. So it's sad when we see some of our young brothers and sisters who don't pray or they feel, I'm not in a mood this day, this way. I have solutions for that, brothers and sisters. We've all gone through it. Sure. We go up and down in our emotions. All of us. There are days we're very spiritual. There are days we're not spiritual. So how do you solve this problem? The worst days are those days when you're not spiritual. And then something really wrong happens. Now you're angry. So now you're looking for an excuse never to do it again. Meaning never to pray. And you look for a reason to violate. And then you start chipping away in the wrong direction. And you start developing a lifestyle of wickedness. All because you are refusing to obey. And it takes you into a spiral and into a hole you never get out. How do you solve that? One is ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help you. Sincerely, Allah says, أَدْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. Ask me, وَذْكُرُونِي فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ. Remember me, I'll remember you. وَشْكُرُولِي وَلَا تَكْفُرُونَ. And thank me and don't be ungrateful. I'll come to you. Allah created me, why would He deny me this? So all of us, first solution, brothers and sisters, seek sincerely. Seek, not with strings attached. Oh Allah, I truly want to get close to you. I am filled with wickedness and I am filled with passions that go against your commandment. Take me closer. Make me understand that these passions, these worldly life that I like, that I indulge myself so much into, make me understand how bad it really is. So that I turn to you willfully, knowingly, such that I do not have any further ambiguity in my head as to why you are so important to me first. Actively speaking, an individual also keeps friends with the friends of Allah. Because you look around and you see a society, you see in every community a group of people who are rememberers of Allah. Ones who keep up the prescriptions of Allah. Now within that group, there are two groups. There's one that really understands the rule and follows it properly. Then there's the other one that's extreme. The one that's very rigid. Everything haram, halal, don't even look at me, astaghfirullah, you're going to hell, da, 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 that kind of stuff. Two types. With due respect to both, I don't condemn or say anything other than this. In my opinion, both of them could be very good. Of course, one in extreme form is not acceptable in Islam. But give benefit to the individual that maybe that's his way of protecting himself. But if he's a burden on others, then he's going to fail or she's going to fail. The best, of course, is the one who understands the dynamics and is not burdensome. So if you have a brother who comes and spends time with you and goes to play tennis or soccer or whatever, and it's time of salah, typically the person doesn't want to pray. Typically the person doesn't want to pray. So what do? Gently say to the brother, Bismillah, we're going to say our salah. You'll join us, inshallah, right? The friend says, hey, I'm with you. I have to hang out with you, so I'm going to come and pray with you. And they do that. It's how you carry yourself. Before you know it, the person never prayed before, and now he's praying. Because he got a moment, a spark, a light. He saw something good, and he liked it. He likes you. He wants to hang out with you. And the next thing you know, you're affecting this person positively. I know when we go on trips, even on ski trips, when we go for prayers, even in the middle of skiing, you know, skiing is a difficult sport when it comes to garments and garb. It's filled, you're filled with boots and hot, you know, heavy clothes and equipment. And it's time of salah. It's difficult. You have to stop, get down from the slopes, carry these skis, go into the lodge, walk with these big heavy boots. It's a trial. But we never stop obeying the laws of Allah, because that's the plan. Allah says, do everything. Ski, do whatever you want. Enjoy this world. But don't give up your obligations of salah. Because that's where your decency comes into play. That's the groundwork that your iman is going to maintain its focus. Otherwise, you're going to fall. Salah. You find all the decency in the world today, if you really look at the control of decency in the world today, it's controlled by people who are cognizant of their Lord. So we found, for example, I gave you this example. Once we went skiing, and I remember the young brother says, brother, it's salah time. I said, we're going to pray. He says, where are we going to pray? The place was packed. 100,000 people in this lodge. We said, Allah is more important than any of this. We'll pray on the slopes if we have to. But why did we come? So what? We're having a good time. What is it to stop for half an hour and pray? It's a good relaxation. So the young boy said, okay. I said, come. So we went, we stood, we went to the main office and we asked them, we said, we'd like to say our prayers. The lady looked at me, she says, one second, I've got the manager. The place was packed. There wasn't an inch of space. Allah is my witness. She calls on the walkie-talkie and a Filipino guy comes. He says, you're Muslims? I said, yeah, we want to pray. He says, I'm a Muslim too. He said, there's no place to pray. But we have an office in the back. You can pray there. I said, I don't mind. Give me a little square. I'll pray. Because it's an honor. So these boys are looking at us. He says, come on in. He opens the door, and inside is where all the money was being kept. I mean, there was money to the ceiling. $100 bills to the ceiling, literally. You know, 100,000 people skiing, each one paying $100 per person. That's a lot of money. Cash, stacked. So he says, two of you can pray at a time. So the brother goes with me. He says, brother, look at all this money. I said, when Allah gives it to you, He gives it to you good, doesn't it? When you pray for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, look, the honor. Just the honor. That boy, he's married today, he still remembers that. He calls me, he says, brother, remember that? I said, never forget the honor Allah gives you. Even in the most difficult times, Allah will honor you, even if it means your death. Don't give up salah. It's an honor. It's a protection. It's a groundwork people don't understand. I tell you, my friends in my universities, until today, I have a friend who calls me, who still keeps in touch with me. He says, I was so touched when I saw you praying. A non-Muslim brother of mine, a friend of mine, my own roommate, tells me, I was touched when you prayed. I saw you praying and I felt tranquility. I said to him, what if you prayed, how would you feel? If you feel so much tranquil when you saw me praying, how about when you pray? This is the kind of things that I'm talking about. Subhanallah, in all these relationships, I have so many stories to tell. I must say, all of us brothers and sisters should maintain the importance of salah. It is so important that even Imam Ali alayhi salam, in the middle of the battlefield, they stopped and they prayed. In the battle of Siffin, who was he fighting? Muawiyah. The very man, the Messenger of Allah said, who will kill Ammar ibn Yasir in that very same battle. And the Prophet said, that one who will kill Ammar will be a disbeliever. That was Muawiyah. People challenge that. Read the hadith. It's in all the hadith. They say it is a disbeliever, the one who will kill Ammar ibn Yasir. Ammar was such a great companion of the Messenger of Allah that the first two shuhada in Islam was his mother Thumayya, and the other one was Yasir. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with salah. Let's keep it up, brothers and sisters. It's a foundation. It keeps us away from evil and wrongdoing. And you will see that the Imams, the Prophets, maintained it, and it is our symbol. So I'm saying it tonight on the night of Ashura, when Imam Hussein alayhi salam is now preparing for the battle and to prepare himself to go forward in front of the enemy to be massacred. But he has a message to send us all. Let's live with it and hope that regardless of what happens, we must circle ourselves among good people, seek Allah's grace, and even if the days when our spirits are low, doesn't matter. Do the wudu, pray. Even if it's just chanting and chattering, whatever you want to call it, do it. Don't stop. Don't let shaitan tap you on the shoulder and say, you're not even in the spirit today. Forget about it, you'll do it tomorrow. Don't. The qadha is so difficult to do. I see some people for 25 years they haven't prayed. They came to a realization when they were in their 40s. And they came to the realization that they stopped their prayers. And now they're making up 25 years of prayer. Because salah, Allah does not forgive on that. The qadha is obligatory. It is obligatory to pay back if the time passes. That if you don't do it, it's obligatory to pay. And if you don't, in Surah Qiyamah, Allahu Akbar. Listen to what Allah says. Interesting. He says in Surah Al-Qiyamah, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I just read the English. The affliction upon affliction, Allah mentions Surah Al-Qiyamah, verse number 29. He says, that day they shall be driven in hell. Why? The answer, فَلَا صَدَّقَ وَلَا صَلَّى. Because they didn't speak, did not accept the truth, and they didn't pray. So Allah throws them in hell. Why? Because Allah says, after all this mercy I have given you, you reject? How? How selfish can you be? Imagine a child comes to me and says, brother, why do I pray? I said, if I came to your home and I knocked on your door and I gave you a gift and you took it and you slammed the door on my face, do you think that's a good thing to do? He said, no. I said, how about if I did it again and you slammed the door on my face again and again and again? What kind of a person are you? He said, I would be a terrible person. I said, that's the person who refuses to pray. Allah daily gives you, and you keep slamming the door, and telling me, it's okay God, I don't need to thank you. This is the ibadah. You know, the atheists also get very annoyed. In my debate, second debate that I had, some of the atheists, we had salah in between the debate. Listen to this, interesting, it's an observation. Between the debate, between the two programs, we had a prayer. This one lady comes, is an atheist. And another guy comes to me and says, excuse me, we're very insulted. I said, yeah, why? You people are praying. It's disgusting. Honestly, this, the words I'm quoting. I said, really? Why? Look, you invited us atheists. We're having a debate here. We don't like you people praying. I said, but isn't this what you're promoting? Haphazard, accidental stuff. We all came from nowhere. We're going nowhere. What difference does it make what I do? Whether I pray, I don't pray. What's your problem? Listen to this. They get angry when we pray. You can stick an earring on your nose, on your lip, on your tongue, on your head. Anywhere. We got no problems with that. Walk on your head. We don't have a problem. But bow down to a God, we have a problem. I said, you have a problem. You didn't come from anywhere. You're going nowhere. And you have a problem with my obedience. What's your problem? The interesting thing is they say, we don't want you following a religion. I said, really? Who should I follow? Follow yourself. I said, precisely. I am following myself. That's why I'm following the truth, which is Al-Islam. Are you? You're asking me to follow myself, which I am. Then how come you're telling me to follow you? Don't tell me. Because you telling me to follow you is not me following myself. Don't trick with me. You want to play games, I'll play games with you. But the interesting observation I have is people get angry when we pray. I say to them, why do you get angry? Because Shaitan, who is their representative, is telling them, stop these people, because that's the only way we will stop them from being moral, decent, subservient, submissive individuals. Otherwise we can't get them. Salawat ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with this great religion that in the spirit of Islam tonight in Karbala, you find that when Ibn Sa'd started attacking the army of Imam Hussein, this was on the 9th of Muharram. They were eager to get the bay'ah of Imam Hussein. Eager. Because their passion for this world had taken them astray. and they started to attack. And Abbas ibn Ali alayhi salam was on the front, and he stopped that army. And there was a small skirmish. And Imam immediately requests to have a discussion with Umar ibn Sa'd. And Umar comes and says that Ibn Ziyad has commanded us to immediately get your allegiance. Look, allegiance. Allegiance for who? Khalifa. Khalifa of who? Of God. Look at the pathetic state of affairs. You're trying to get an allegiance from the representative of God for God. The devil wants an allegiance from the representative of Allah for Allah. Isn't that a beautiful equation? It's called insanity. It's called stupidity. Honestly, how do you ask for the allegiance of a representative of Allah? Ulil amri minkum. We want the allegiance. This is the haphazard reality we live in. So Imam speaks to Umar ibn Sa'd. He says, "Oh Umar, you know who we are. You know our status. It's not a secret. It is written everywhere. You know my position. You know what Allah has chosen me for. You know why I'm here. And you know that is one thing we servants of Allah love to do. And we are asking you kindly to give us one night of respite so that we may pray." Allahu Akbar. Think about that. Give us one night so that we may worship our Lord. You and I find excuses not to pray. The imam is in a state of peril. He's in a state of on the edge of being killed. He's not worried about anything but to remember his Lord. الَّذِينَ مَعَ عَشِدَّهُ عَلَى الْكُفَّارِ رُحَمَاهُ بَيْنَهُمْ تَرَاهُمْ رُكَّعًا سُجَّدًا يَبْتَغُونَ فَضْلًا مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرِضْوَانٍ سِيمَاهُمْ فِي وُجُوهِهِمْ مِّنْ أَثَرِ السُّجُودِ. Allahu Akbar. Surah Al-Fath, the last verse. You will see the ones who are with the messenger. They have the signs of salah, prayer. They do ruku, sujood. They have a passion. They have a love for their Lord. Always worshipping Him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions it beautifully in Surah Al-Fath. I see that. الَّذِينَ مَعْ عَشِدَّا وَالْكُفَّارِ. That when Imam Hussein stood against Umar ibn Sa'd. Tomorrow, inshallah, we'll talk about that in the daytime, in his shahada. And we're going to have salah here after the shahada. Brothers and sisters, make sure you have your wudu ready when you come, so that there is no line out there. Because we're going to pray after the shahada. We're going to pray salatul jama'ah here. We should be honored to pray. That Imam Hussein alayhi salam says, "Give me time to worship Allah." Historians have noted that Umar allowed it. He figured, what's the difference? Today, tomorrow, we're going to get him anyway. That evening, historians say in the tent, there was a buzz of salah and dua. There was a buzz of prayer, sujood, tasbih, dhikr, thanking Allah. I look at that image of people whose lives are going to be in shambles the next day, massacred. But they are so in love with their Lord, they're doing sujood. I tell you, to kiss the hand of that individual is the greatest honor in the world. An individual who worships his Lord before his soul is taken away. An individual who does sujood because he's humble in the eyes of Allah. Allah said, لا تقولوا لمن يقتلوا في سبيل الله أموات بل أحياء ولكن لا تشعرون. Don't say that they are dead, they are alive. Some people say, why do we send salam to Imam Hussein? Why do we send salam to Imam Ali? Why do we send salam to the Prophet? Allah says, these are all shuhada. They've all died and they are not dead, they are alive. And they are getting rizq from Allah. So Imam Hussein alayhi salam at night does the dhikr. And the enemy on the other side was busy sharpening the sword and counting the hours when they will go collect their reward from Ibn Ziyad and Yazid. That's the combination of the two. That Imam Hussein alayhi salam is in the state of salah, is in the state of ruku, in the state of sujood, that you and I, as young children, as children of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah has created on this earth, meaning the ones who should worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as His creation, not children, that was not what I meant. As His creation, that you and I need to reflect on this.
Brothers and sisters, tonight is the night of Ashura. It is a momentous night because Imam Hussein alayhi salam spent his last evening before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took him away from this world. You know, Imam Hussein alayhi salam had a young son, and his name was Abdullah. And the Messenger of Allah has said that the best name you can give to a child is Abdullah, servant of Allah. His other name was Ali Asghar, the little Ali. Imam Hussein had many sons whose names were Ali. Ali Akbar, Imam Zain al-Abidin Ali, Ali Asghar. What you find is that Imam Hussein alayhi salam, on the day of Ashura, when everybody was massacred, there was no one left, not a single person was left. He was preparing himself to go forward in battle. And you find that he's trying one more moment by which to incite some spirit in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that they should have some mercy on the other side. Imam Hussein alayhi salam comes into the tent and he asks the mother, Rabab, and says, give me this young child of mine, Abdullah. And he kisses it and he sees that the tongue of the child is parched, dry, and crying. At least this child that's crying in front of us, his tongue is not dry. But that child, his tongue keeps sticking out. And Imam would touch his tongue to give it a little sweetness and a little water so that this child should be pacified. He says, give me this child. Can you imagine the mother giving this child to her husband? And Imam Hussein says, I'm going to go in front of this enemy and I'm going to ask them that what wrong has this child done? What wrong has this baby done that you even want to kill this baby? That you want to deny it water? Imam Hussein comes in the front of the enemy lines. And I can just see the Imam disheveled, bruised, bleeding, tired, exhausted, thirsty. And he takes this child and he raises him in front of them and says, oh people, what wrong has this child done? Give it water. He takes the baby. He puts him on the ground. He says, if you think I'm not worthy, then feed it. Then while he's talking, the army, the opposite side, the mala'een, start to feel the pain of what they're doing. And they start to cry. Some of them start to cry. They start to see the treachery of what they're doing. That Ibn Sa'd sees this. Shimmer on the other side sees this. He says to Hurmala, he says, do something and stop this. That while the Imam is talking, Hurmala, who was an archer, pulls the arrow and he aims it. And while the Imam is holding a baby, the arrow pierces through the neck of the child and into the arm of the Imam. And the blood starts to gush. Imam Hussein turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and says, oh Allah, bear witness what these people have done. He says, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Ridham bi qada'i wa tasliman li amri. We are happy with this qada, this decree, O Allah. And we submit to your ways, O Allah. Then he takes the baby forward and back, and the baby has left its soul. This Ali Asghar's life has left from its soul. That Imam doesn't know what to do from that moment. Subhanallah, in the sense of expressions, that should he take it back to its mother? But history shows that he dug a little grave and he sticks the baby in it and he covers it. But I tell you, the most treacherous of events is after the shahad of Imam Hussein, these very wretched enemies dug up this same grave and they took the body of this baby out and they severed the head of this baby and they stuck it on a spear to take it as booty on the day to show their leaders. Ala la'natullahi ala al-qawmi al-zalimin wa say'alamu al-lazina zalamu ayya man qalamin yan-qalimun. يا عبد الله الرضيع يا عبد الله أهزان مهداك فيدي وعاين علمهد خالي عسن سهم القطع نحري قطع نحري. خلي قلبك يا عبد الله الرضيع وهاي الدمعات ان شاء الله تحصلها يوم المحشر. عسن سهم القطع نحرق قطع نحري يا مقطوع النحر بعدك شل بعمري يا عبد الله انفطر قلبي وخلاص صبري على هالنوم يا يمه ويا ماضي تابيني من اشوفك يا الولد مطروح يا حلو المعاني يا ذنب مذبوح خلت روح روح تروح خلت روح يا ضي العين بعدك من يدليني يا ضي العين هاي العين عمي العين يمه يا ضي العين هاي العين عمي العين مصاب حسين ومصابك يا روح حسين أروح وين بعدك وين أروح وين وانت رجاي من تكبر تباريني. أهز مهدك يا عبد الله وعاين على المهد خالي يا ابني وثمر دلالي. أهز مهدك يا عبد الله أهز مهدك يا عبد الله أهز مهدك يا عبد الله. هلا بيك وعاين على مهد خالي يا ابني وثي مار دلالي أهي